We will begin this morning by reading from James chapter 1. If you have your Bibles in your hands, I hope and pray that you do. Let's turn to James chapter 1 together. Begin in verse 2. James 1 in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Very challenging set of verses here for us to consider this morning as we think about patience and being patient. James tells us by inspiration of God that we should count it all joy when we fall into various trials, when troubles come our way, that we should be excited and joyful about that, not because we're troubled or because we're in the middle of a terrible mess, but because our faith will be tested and it will produce patience. We talked this morning in our Bible class, Hebrews chapter 11, talking about faith, that when you have faith and it's appropriate before God, that it grants patience to those who have confidence and faith in the Lord. I appreciate the songs that we sang just a moment ago, "In His Time." They that wait upon the Lord, they are a unique people. They are a precious people because they have faith in God and His Word. They have patience because they have faith. And when their faith is tested by various trials, their patience grows. That is a very difficult thing for us to grab a hold of and say, yeah, I want to do that. I want to sign up for that. How can I start? How soon can I start where my faith can be tested in such a way that it would produce greater patience within me? And yet we are commanded in Scripture to be patient. Look at James chapter 5 with me. James 5 and verse 7, he's not done with us. He wants to tell us more about patience. James 5 and verse 7, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So James again tells us here that we must be patient. Brethren, be patient. And then he gives us a few examples. He mentions the farmer. Think about the farmer who plants his crop. He has no choice. He's done the work that he's supposed to do. He's done all that he can do to till the ground, to plant the seed. And now he must wait on the Lord and on the creation that God has given to him and the order that must take place in order for his crops to grow and to bear fruit. There's no way he can rush that or speed that up. The farmer patiently waits. And if he doesn't, the first year he plants crops, eventually he will become patient because there's no speeding it up. And James says, consider this. Think about it. You know something's coming, you're sure of it, but you're going to have to wait. And so, be patient. Your patience looks like something. You're settled, you're calm, you're not worked up over everything. You're able to visit with people and keep a calm tone about you. You are patient. The judge is standing at the door. We know that, we are confident of that, and so we are patient as he has told us to be. Then he says, consider the prophets who spoke the word of the Lord. They endured much hardship and suffering. Think about them. Go through the Old Testament and watch patience as it's given to us in the Scriptures, and then emulate that. Then he gives us the grandest of them all in the Old Testament. When you talk about patience, think about the patience of Job. He sat patiently and scraped boils off of his skin from the crown of his head to the sole of his foot. And he sat in pain. His children had lost their lives. He lost all of his flocks. There was nothing left except for his wife, who encouraged him to curse God and die. And he sat patiently and he waited on the Lord. The Lord had intended great things for Job, but not yet. And that's a great lesson for us when we think about patience today, together. Going through this together is so crucial. I realize that we may not need this lesson. You might be very good at patience. I'm not. From time to time, I have trouble with patience and being patient. There are several ways that that happens in my life, and we want to look at this a little bit and think about how it works for us. We already know as Christians we're supposed to be patient. You've obeyed the gospel? you love the Lord, then you're patient, right? That's how that works. He's commanded you. You serve him. He's king. He is God. You are patient because you trust. You have confidence, and he expects that from you. It is that simple. But then you step out into the world where the rubber meets the road, and then you've got to be patient. You've got to say to yourself from time to time, my faith and my confidence is in God. He will see me through. When you do that, when you can say that in your heart, you're going to be a very special person to this world around you. Very, very special person. Because there's nobody in this world who wants to wait on anything or to be patient with anything. So let's just test it. Let's see how patient we are as Christians. The first question I have for you is, do I rush even in menial tasks? Do you rush even in the simplest of tasks that you need to go do? Something you decide, I've got to go do this. Think about in the kitchen of your home. You're in the kitchen, and there's three other people in your family that are also in the kitchen at the same time. Menial task. I need to get into the refrigerator because I want to get something out of the fridge. But someone in my family is already at the refrigerator with the door open, just gazing in there, just looking. I know what I want. Get out of the way. That is a menial task, and yet I've already lost my patience. And I tried all week. My family doesn't know this, but I tried all week this week to step back and let them gaze into the fridge and say, I need to work on this. If this is my test or my challenge, I'm not doing very good. I've got to be patient. In the kitchen, at the refrigerator door, whatever it is for you, where you lose your patience, the simplest of things. There's a symptom here. There's something being said to you. If you're paying attention, you cannot lose your patience in moments like this. You're not going to do well when trouble comes. This is an ongoing practice. When our patience is tested and tried, then it grows into more patience. If I can learn how to behave at the refrigerator door, then I'm ready for my next challenge, right? And so I will grow and develop as I move forward in life, as I'm thinking about being patient. Do I interrupt people? Now, I tried again. I tried all week not to interrupt anybody, and I messed up this morning. I interrupted Ray when he was talking to John, and I'm sorry, Ray. They were talking, and I walked right in the middle of it, and I said, well, I'm about to talk about this. It's a challenge to stand back. I am not that important. What I have to say is not that important. I need to stand in line and wait my turn. Before I was even a member of the Lord's Church, I worked at a lighting store. Many of you know I worked in a lighting business for 20 years. And there was a lady in the front office who had zero patience, and she interrupted us all the time, the men who worked in the warehouse. She would have a sheet of paper in her hand, and you'd hear the door slam, and she'd come back to the back, and no matter what we were talking about or what we were doing, she'd cut right in the middle of all of us and say, this has to go. This needs to go right now. Or, you know, I just got a phone call. And so now her issue has trumped all of our issues, no matter what we're discussing. It took me a little while to figure out that she did it all the time. So I'm the manager of the warehouse, and I told my men, I said, look, we're going to put a stop to this. When she comes back next time, just keep talking and do not acknowledge her. Now, remember, I was not a Christian. But I wanted to teach this lady a lesson, that you are not that important. What we're talking about, what we're discussing, is also work. And you should learn to wait your turn. And it had a great effect on her. She couldn't understand why no one knew that she was in the room. And I pulled her aside a couple times and just explained to her that you're butting into other things that we're doing. We're involved in work, too. If you give this to us patiently and in the right way, it'll be well received. But you take your turn. It's just not that big of a deal. It never has been, no matter how loud you yell. And so that there's an issue there that we have to think about in our own lives today as Christians. Another one for me, do I get exasperated when I'm waiting in line? The answer is yes for all of you. The reason why I know that is because we have the internet and we've got ways to shop online where I can sit in the comfort of my home and not stand behind anyone. I may not be first in line on the internet service, but I think I am. I mean, when I hit it and when I put my credit card in, I get what I want. It tells me it's coming. And then they ask how you want it shipped, right? You can do it for free, but it'll be 7 to 10 days. How many of us go, nope, I'm paying the $20. I want it now. And if you can give it to me yesterday, I'll take that and I'll pay for it. Again, there's a symptom inside of us. There's something wrestling within us that should not be there. We must learn. Brothers and sisters, we must learn to be patient so that when real challenges come, we are ready for that. Let me give you another one. Do I accept credit card debt in order to have it now? It's a very dangerous thing that has been sold to the American people, that you can purchase things on credit, you can have it right now, you worry about paying it later. That is not a biblical principle. We can certainly use credit cards. We know our ability to pay back or to repay that which we borrowed. And we should be responsible in that. God calls us to be responsible and to be good stewards of what He's blessed us with. But I can tell you that this nation has a serious problem with credit card debt. According to WalletHub, the total outstanding credit card debt in America today is $927.1 billion. We are in debt, $1 trillion, almost $1 trillion in debt because of our credit cards and the use of them. This is an outstanding credit bill of $8,380 per household in credit card debt. We have a problem. We are spending money that we have not earned. We are not responsible. We want it now, and we don't care what it takes. We'll pay the piper later. We'll deal with that later. That is a practice that turns into something where you're not patient with anyone at all at any time. And you can be moving in the direction of that person, or you can start to say, I need to work on this. I've got to do better. Something serious is coming my way, and I need to be prepared. You cannot behave this way all through your life and then have troubles and trials come upon you and go, oh, I know what to do. The Bible says I should be patient. Good luck. You've never done it before. You can't flip that switch. It is an effort that goes on each and every day of our lives. I have realized with this idea of patience and my lack of patience that 99% of the time, personally, my patience is born out of selfishness. I want it now. For me, I have to have it. I was thinking about a good person, maybe someone who would help us illustrate this concept of somebody who says, I got to have it right now, and I don't care who I step on. I don't care who gets in my way. And I thought of Veruca Salt. You remember the rich girl in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory? She screamed, I want it now. And then her father said, no, young lady, you will wait and be patient. Is that how that went? Mm-mm. Remember what her dad did? She wanted that golden ticket out of that Willy Wonka chocolate bar, and so he put every employee he had opening chocolate bars as fast as they could. In their discussion, when she's yelling at him saying, you're not doing this fast enough, he says to her, darling, we are unwrapping 19,000 candy bars per hour. Is it not enough? And she says, no, I want it now. And you know how it goes. They finally find the golden ticket. They rush it to the little girl, and she holds it up, and she goes, look, Daddy, I found one. And he's encouraging that. He's helping that along. He's writing checks every time she raises an eyebrow. And he is teaching her that patience is not required for those who have the money or the means to attain that which they desire. It is not the will of God. This character in this movie is portrayed in such an awful way that no one could have any endearing feelings about her as we go through that particular movie. Because we understand what that looks like. It looks so bad on someone else who's screaming that I want it. I must have my way. I always get my way. That is not who God wants us to be. You know, a good way to learn patience is to go fishing. Man, what a great way to learn. Go fishing. Go somewhere where it's quiet, away from the noise of traffic and the noise of the city, where things are happening so quickly that we can't even take in all that God's showing us. Go sit down somewhere in a patch of grass, cast your hook out, let that bobber sit on the water, and learn what patience means. You know what you realize when you fish and you wait for fish to come and hopefully take the bait that you've set out is that it's quiet, it's peaceful. You start to look around and the Lord begins to speak to you in a very real way. Hunting and fishing, where you must sit still and be quiet. If you go hunting and you're in a blind, no deer is going to show up. If you're ranting and raving about you want to shoot a deer, he ain't coming. We know you have to sit still and be quiet. Whatever it is you're passionate about, I would encourage you, get in your car, get outside of the city, sit down, calm yourself down. Look at what the Creator is saying to you, the message that He has for you in this life. Fresh air that's out there, all that is available to us in the peace and the calm of nature itself. Fishing requires great patience. No one can catch fish angry. It just won't happen. You must settle down. You must be patient. It's a good lesson for us in our life. As we look at patience, as we think about some of our closing thoughts this morning, patience coupled with kindness is commanded by God. Our patience, not just saying, okay, I'll wait, but then being kind to others who are around you. Patience with kindness is what God commands. Look at Isaiah chapter 40 with me. Isaiah 40, in verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Consider Romans chapter 2 with me. Romans chapter 2 and verse 6. This is speaking of God. It says, God will render to each one according to his deeds. Romans 2 and verse 6. He will render to them eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Look at verse 8. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also to the Greek. Eternal life is granted to those who by patient continuance in doing good. We can see there, right there, patience is coupled with good works, doing good, being kind, showing people what you really believe in and who you really are. That it's not just being patient, but it's also doing a good work. Look over at Galatians chapter 6. There's another great passage that talks to us about being patient. Galatians chapter 6. Tells us in verse 7, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Whatever you are sowing in this life, that is what you are going to reap. It is an immutable law of God. We must learn to be patient, to settle ourselves down, to slow down, to be patient and to be kind. Verse 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season, remember the farmer? In due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We are encouraged, we are commanded by God to be patient and to do good to all. I'm going to give you another earthly example that I've been thinking about a lot this week. My grandfather was a very unique person in my eyes as a grandchild, looking at him from the ages, I was between 6 and 10 when I started to take note of this. My grandfather would go with us to the mall to shop. And my grandmother, maybe my mom, others, would do the shopping. And he would sit on one of the benches that were available in the mall. And sometimes he would take his Bible, he would maybe take a book with him and read. Sometimes he would just sit there. And they would shop and shop and shop. And we would go and look at the toys we wanted. We'd do all kinds of things. And he didn't want to go from shop to shop, but he sat very patiently and very quietly on that hard park bench that was in the mall. And I learned a great lesson from him, what patience looks like and what I should try to emulate. You know, he had things going on too, didn't he? He had a life. There was something certainly he could have been doing with his time, and yet he sat down and just waited. Now, I don't ever remember him coming and finding us and saying, that's it, let's go. I can't do this anymore. I don't remember any moment when he lost his patience. If he did, it wasn't in front of me. And he was a great example to me as one who could just sit. He had great confidence in the Lord. I know that. But he could just sit and wait. And it is a great tool. It's very difficult to do. but is a great tool for us to have and to work on and to develop in our lives. We are commanded by God. I made that clear, and we looked at the verses that show us that. So we've been given precepts. Precepts tell us our duty that's shown to us by God, but examples show us that it is possible. And so I want to give you a fantastic example of patience as we close this morning. You are supposed to be patient, and I am supposed to be patient. God commands that from us, and then He demonstrates patience by showing it to us through His own actions. No one is more patient than God. We have to understand that. No one has shown more long-suffering or patience than the Lord God Himself. The one who can burn this ball of dust whenever He's ready and say, it's over, I'm done, I'm finished. He can do it when He wants, and it'll be right when He does it. It will be appropriate and it will be right, and yet He hasn't. He's still patient. He's still long-suffering. Do not frown when you look up to heaven and consider God's will for your life to be patient. Don't be upset about that. He is showing you patience in the very moment that you are trying to be patient. The patient long-suffering of God should ultimately lead us to repentance and to salvation. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. We'll use these for our invitation. The patience and the long-suffering of God has an impact on all of our lives. Look what Paul says in Romans 2 and verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Don't you see that if you have not repented, if you've not turned away from your sin, if you're in a lost condition, that the Lord knows that and you know that, and He has not struck you down yet? He's showing you something. It's long-suffering. It is forbearance. He doesn't have to forbear. He doesn't have to wait on you, and yet He does. It is the goodness of God. It is the richness of His mercy and His grace, and it is being poured out on every soul in this world. Do you despise that? Does that make you angry? That God's desire for your life is not yet fulfilled? It shouldn't. It's an example to us that we should be patient because God has certainly been patient with us. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you a verse that means so much to me. Ricky Jenkins read this verse briefly while he was here during the gospel meeting, and it hit me just listening to what he was saying. And the reading of the verse, a new door was opened for me. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. It says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Do you hear what Peter said? The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Someone asked you to describe or explain what salvation is. Normally, we go into the plan of salvation. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and live faithfully before God, to be accounted worthy of the gospel in the presence of Almighty God. This scripture tells us something else. The long-suffering of God is salvation. I hope you see with me that if you've been kicking against the goads, you know what God's told you to do, and you've been hindered, you've been held back, you're not doing that, maybe you're not as faithful as you know that you should be, do not treat the long-suffering of God as some empty and worthless gift. It is the most precious thing we have to cling to hold on to, and then to emulate our Father as His dear children. Let's be more patient with one another. Do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith. If you need to come forward this morning, if we can help you in any way that God requires us to be of service to you, you come forward and let us know, and we will do all that we can. We will pray for you. We will work with you. We will lift you up and encourage you to serve God faithfully as He has asked each one of us to do. Come forward right now while we stand and sing.